and Linda is always grinning, but got a great text last week, and Miss Linda's test came back from her surgery. She's cancer-free. Can we give God a praise this morning? Man, that's a... You know, we don't often get to say that. You know, it's they take care of things, it gets better, but we're so thankful for that. And Pat and Brian, I love, it's easy to minister to Pat and Brian, especially Brian is very matter of fact. He came on the front porch this morning and said, "I'll ask you something, preacher. We got to thank you. We need to give. Card just won't do." Well, he had the planned out in time, and I appreciate that, Brother Brian. He called me one morning and said, "I got to go to the doctor. Pat needs something." And I often tell y'all, call me. You're not just calling me. I've got the whole church to go to. But when you get that phone call, you're like, "Oh, my goodness, who's going to be able to go?" And that's when Sheila stepped up. And y'all have all done so much. We love them. And I have to draw attention. Brian was maneuvering, if you don't know, and his chair rises up. Visiting with us, you've never seen. He demonstrated one day, but his chair rises up where he's standing. So I knew you might mention that, Brian, this morning. That was good to see you standing up here with us this morning. Marty did mention Sunday. We're excited. It's only two more Sundays now to the 15th. 8:45, full breakfast. Excited about that. 9:45, new Sunday school schedule and format. So just be praying about that. We're excited about that. Be part of that. If you're not in Sunday school now, great time to start. Come eat breakfast. You'll flow in right with the class, and we'll help you. I thank so much Terry organizing a CPR class yesterday. It was just awesome time. And I'll tell you now, I know there's many of you that are already certified and you can do this, but there's 8 more people that got certified yesterday. And so if you have trouble today, and they show, and also just a reminder, because we got it out and trained, right through that door right there on the wall, through that door is an AED. You know what an AED is? That's a fancy machine that if your heart stops and put it on you, and it does everything itself, it can bring your heart back to beating. And so we're thankful to have that. And I'm thankful for our nurses and EMTs and everybody that are here. I've been certified, but I will back up, letting Brooke and Terry and others jump forward first. Amen? Amen. Got the big discussion yesterday about mouth-to-mouth. You know, everybody's worried about, you know, giving mouth-to-mouth just to anybody. And, you know, I would be too. I understand things are different and everything. But I was really told the group, you need to be quick to help somebody in the church family, you know. But they got these little things you can put on your mouth now to protect you. And while we was in there, somebody in the training class ordered one online. It's on the way. So I don't know what that says about y'all, but want to be able to help you. Amen. Also, continue those on our prayer list. And I'm going to mention revival, I guess, in my message. So turn with me to John chapter 8. We're going to pick up right where we left off. John 8, and we stopped in verse 31. So John 8:31. If you're physically able, stand with me. John chapter 8 and verse 31. As you're finding your place standing, we've been looking at how Satan sees the children. We began with, he does see our young children, wants their lives. We began last week looking at how he sees his children. I still kind of get a cold chill. I kind of shudder this description of how it describes that Satan has children, that Satan is really the father of those that have chosen him. And then sometimes we act that way, amen. And then we're going to try to, as best we can, get to the final thing is that Satan sees God's children. He sees you as his children. He has plans. He has attacks. He has the things he wants to do. But John 8:31, still focusing for a moment about how Satan sees his children. Verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue my word, then you are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free?' And Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father.'" Begin to get that indication, calling Satan a father. "They answered and said to him, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus said to them, 'If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man which have told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father.' Then they said to him," they're getting angry now, "'We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God.' And Jesus said to them, 'If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Now look at verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not, which of you convinces me of the sin. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Dear God, what ringing words that jump off the page of the Bible. Literally, you describing to this group of religious people, Jesus, your son, saying your father, the devil, saying that if we don't hear God's words, because God may not be in us. Lord, we are aware of Satan. We know the reality of him. We know the truth of him, even though, Lord, there's no truth in him. And Lord, we stand firm against his attacks. We've been spending these last three Sundays, and even the last night of revival, Brother John bringing a message on Satan. We are trying to learn about Satan to be better prepared. We're trying to be able to recognize, Lord, his attacks and what he does and how we see him in this world. We're trying to understand, Lord, when we act like him, when we act like a child of his. And Lord, just how much, Lord, that you want us as your children to be aware, Lord, of just how dangerous he is. Lord, let us not take him lightly. Let us not joke about him, but let us learn this morning that we might be prepared for the attacks that, Lord, he's even leveling at this moment, we know. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. With revival, I struggled as revival ended trying to understand and describe, because we had a very unique revival in that it was so packed with the Word of God. And you say, well, preacher, obviously any good revival and any time a preacher stands up, it needs to be full of the Word of God. But what I mean by that, oftentimes you have revival and there's great excitement and you have large crowds and great excitement. And you always say that it seems like the excitement goes down the road and back home with the one who preached the revival. Amen? But it was so deep in the Word. And I think God gave me a verse. Turn me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. I think really later in the week as we would talk and many of you were sharing what God had done in your life in revival and it just amazed me. I kept trying to struggle for a word and the word we want from God, amen, not the preacher's description of revival. But in Hebrews 4:12, and we're going to go back to John. I didn't tell you hold your place, hope you have. We'll go right back to John 8, but Hebrews 4:12. Look at the word of God. It says, for the word of God is quick. Often we're so quick with our words, amen? But the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To find help in time of need. And that's kind of what revival was. Such a pack with the Word of God. Turn back to me to John 8. A help in a time of need. As we go back to John 8, somebody asked me yesterday, they said, preacher, I just want to ask you a question. And that's always a scary thing, amen? That's a scary thing, not just for preachers, for y'all. So have it at work sometime. Have family, have your child. I'll ask you a question. Somebody said, I'll ask you a question. How's these revival things work with you preachers? So you kind of get together with those guys and you kind of explain to them everything that's going on. And then you kind of tell them kind of what things need to be covered and you kind of need to talk about what's going on. And I said, absolutely not. Had absolutely no conversation with any of those men about a thing that was happening here, not happening here, going here. I asked them to come preach the Word of God. Amen? And that man said, that was confirmation of the Holy Spirit. It was for me. I sat down and just took note after note after note and just realizing that it is a powerful word. Amen? And then our help in time of need comes in that Satan is attacking so much and he's getting away with so much. Amen? I read in the verse there in verse 8 where we see in verse 44, and we'll try to focus on it a little more later if we have the time. But if you look in verse 44, it says there, your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And we live in a time when it's just absolutely rampant and just overwhelming how often we turn on the TV and murder has happened. Amen? Someone is going in now on a regular basis and they are murdering a group of people, whether it be in a theater, in the workplace, in a shopping mall. I mean, the list goes on and on. Someone has murdered a large number of people. Oftentimes, then they take their own life. And just continually, as that happens, I'm reminded, I make the statement often, I want you to join me, that has Satan's signature all over it. He is the murderer. We need to give them attention. I'm so thankful, and John, and I talked to John about what I've been preaching the last few Sundays. I had no conversation. He preached Wednesday night about Satan and really covered a whole passage of Scripture, a whole different area we've not even touched upon and won't even this message today. And I wish I had brought my notes with me this morning, but was given some facts and figures, and it's overwhelming. I'll just say that without the exact numbers. It's overwhelming the percentage of Bible-believing Christian churchgoers that don't believe that the devil is a real being. Amen? They just don't believe it. They discounted it. I was sitting there as the choir was singing, as we're worshiping this morning, and I was just realizing and thinking about, for some people in our world, y'all, I believe the Bible. Sometimes I'll fold up a piece of paper and I'll put it in my wallet or in my front pocket, just some notes for something going on or Dickie for the day, you know. And I do believe there's a lot of people in this world that you could put every bit of what they really believe and follow in the Word of God, put it on one sheet of paper, fold it up, put it in their wallet, their pocketbook. They really wouldn't even look at that either. That's all they believe, the Word of God. And the Word of God is packed full of this help for need, a powerful word, and the warnings, and that this murder is going about. And not only does he want to murder physically, he wants to murder spiritually. I mean, he wants to take every bit of the fire out of your walk with God, pour water on that fire, just murder your relationships. That's what he's about doing. We need to recognize that. We started earlier, as I said a few Sundays ago, about him seeing the children. I still can't look at our young people, look at the children that come down front, and look at the precious baby in the back and think, you know, and I'll fast forward in case we don't get there, but all these three Sundays I'm preaching toward this verse in James 4:7 that says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And listen, that's the point of understanding him being ready is that parents do not have to fear for that baby. I don't have to fear for the children, the young people. I have to fear for myself. The devil is not something to fear once we know Jesus, but he is someone to respect and understand that it simply is found in submission to him. Amen? And submitting to God our Father, it says, then we'll resist. And I had so many years in my life, I had the order all mixed up. I was trying to resist him. I don't want to think those thoughts. I don't want to say those things. I don't want to feel this way. And all this resisting, because I believed there was a devil. And I had seen him work in my life, my family's life, and my friend's life. And I knew he was such a real thing, but I was trying to resist him and try. Then God took me to that verse in James, and I remembered that I need to understand the reality of him. But I'm not afraid for our children as long as the parents and the church family and the pastor and with those we surround our children with and our babies with and ourselves, that we are about submitting to God. Amen? Total surrender to him. And what he says, once you surrender to God, that's the first step. And then we are able to, that gives us the power to resist. Do you understand? On any given day, at any moment, we're in any situation, when we're not fully submitted and given over to God, that there is no way we have the power, the ability to resist the devil. That's when he comes in. But in submission to him, that's why we got to get early in the morning, y'all. Early in the morning and get in God's word and get in prayer and talk to him, listen to him and submit to him, everything to him. And so when we go out, we'll be ready to resist the devil. We don't have to be afraid of him. And it's so amazing in John 4:12 when it says we submit, we're able to resist him. We have that power, that ability. He wins the victories. Amen. But then the last part, the third thing it says, after we submit to God and resist the devil, the Bible says that he will flee from us. And I just made it very practical. I was praying early this morning in my study, and I just like to get a picture of where I'm praying. I think a different often when I'm here, but I'm praying this morning. And I just picture as I submit to God and resist the devil's attack. Oh, devil is having to flee out through the woods, and he's hitting himself on trees and over barbed wire fences, and he's having to flee. But I had never saw it till this morning when I went back and was kind of reminding myself of that verse and knowing I probably wouldn't get to that verse again today. is that it says literally, listen to the power of God's words, it says that what happens when you submit to God, resist what Satan's trying to do, he will flee from you. You, personal. It doesn't say that he'll flee from your house. It doesn't say he'll flee from work or the church, that he'll flee from the world or anything. It says it's a personal thing. God says, I can't do it for Hilton and Brooke. I can't do it for you. I can't do it for anybody, but we all have the ability, and we have can accept that power. We can experience that, hey, that he flees from you. I'll tell you, when he begins to flee from more yous, amen, including me, what revival would really bring. So look with me in verse 8, John chapter 8. And we had stopped at verse 31. I'm really going to quickly kind of give you, we're just looking at words beginning in verse 6 of that chapter. So if you'll look it back at verse 6, give you some indications of characteristics of the devil's children. In other words, Satan has no biological children. He's a spirit being. He was an archangel. He was, as John pointed out to us Wednesday night, he was the fourth most powerful being in the world. You have God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then you find Satan. Did you know that? That's who he was, but he's a spiritual being. He has no children in itself. He has followers. He has people that submit to his lies and are lied to and are misled by him. And so a third of the angels fell with him. So his children are people who have got to the age that they understand. We call it the age of accountability. They understand who Jesus is, what Jesus did. They've rejected Jesus Christ, and they begin to live for themselves, for the world. And all of a sudden what happens is, the Bible says they become, the devil becomes their father. Does that not do something to y'all? That just does something to me. To even think that such a thing happens, but knowing that I want to understand it better, I want you to understand it better. As I said Sunday, as we understand beginning in this John 8 of what the children looks like and what they do, it describes often how we can act, and we act like Satan, amen? We act like the devil's our father, y'all, all right? Some of y'all looking very spiritual to me this morning, like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. If I have to, I'll get your husband or wife or your best friend to come up and give testimony, amen? Now y'all are coming with me. Now you're tracking. So the Bible even has a term that says that if we will take and we will act like that, and we act like the devil's our father in these characteristics, that it's like we crucify a Christ anew again, is the words. Nothing we want to do. So in verse 6, it says his children like the tempt to an accuse. Verse 12 says that his children walk in darkness. And I reminded Sunday, and I've been using this all during the week, it's helped me so much, that when someone doesn't know Jesus, they're walking in darkness. It's complete and utter darkness. They can see nothing. This is total darkness. They can't see the words, understand the words. They don't understand what you're talking about, how you're living. It's darkness. There's no moonlight. There's no street light. There's no night light. There's nothing in their life. It's complete darkness. It's helped give us more love and compassion for the ones that are living that. Because I don't know if anybody has let just a small percentage of people say that they're devil worshipers. And let me tell you something about somebody that says they're a devil worshiper. They have no idea of the reality and the truth of who the devil is and what he is, okay? None whatsoever. But there's such a small percentage of people that live, and they have their ceremonies and they have their rituals and they do many evil things. But I believe not even them understand, because they're in the darkness. They don't understand what it means, complete darkness. In verse 15, it says they judge. Always judging others. Verse 19 says that they don't know Jesus or the Father. Verse 21 says they shall die in their sins. Verse 23 says they're from beneath. They're just not of this world. Or they are of this world. Verse 28 says their focus is on themselves. Jesus says, I do nothing of myself, but they do everything about self. In verse 29, we ended last week, said they're not pleasing to God. Jesus says, I do always those things that please him. Before we go into verse 31, y'all, we need to realize that we need to understand that with Jesus, when we're submitted to Jesus Christ, and he has his way in his life, it is possible on any given moment in time, on every day, that we can be pleasing to him. It's one of those things that we often say, well, I'm just doing the best I can. You just know my personality. That's just the way I am. How many times has a husband or wife told each other, or a child, or someone said, that's just the way, you know how I am. That's just the way I am. And that's why we need change, amen? That's why the Bible says we get transformation. I know who I am, and I know who I am apart from Christ. And I know when I don't think and when I don't talk and when I don't act Christ-like, when I'm not submitted to Him, that I'm acting like the child of the devil. Amen. And it's possible when Jesus Christ has our way that we truly can be pleasing the Father. And don't we want to be pleasing to Him a little more often than maybe we are sometimes? Verse 31 makes a powerful statement. We'll pick up there this morning. It says, and said Jesus to those Jews that believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, what it's paying to point out is the children, the ones that have Satan as their father, and when we act that way, we're not in his word. Amen? We're not in his word. It's kind of that. A lot of folks want to say, well, I believe in God. We'll see later on in this message where it says even the devils, it says, believe in God. I believe in God, and I'm not a bad person. And I, you know, but the problem is there's not this when you truly surrender to Christ and you begin a life journey in his word, I mean, you continue in his word daily. Do you miss some time? Yes. Do you fall away? Yes. But there's this continual draw back to the word. And you know what I'm talking about if you know Jesus. You know that feeling when the word of God is drawing you in and the word of God is speaking to you and you've got your Bible open and it's answering a question nobody else could answer. It's giving you a peace that nobody or nothing could give you. And you're experiencing the part that you want to continue on. Amen. That you want to continue on in that word and you want more of it. And I said early in the week, and I've spent most all of my 20 years now coming at the end of this, coming later in this year, as being a preacher of the gospel message, I've struggled with revival. You know, got to get just the right person to come preach revival. So, you know, so everybody will come and the church will be full and revival will break out. And I tell you, after 20 years, I've understood one thing, y'all, listen. And God, thank God, God gave it to the beginning of the week. Is, you know, who was it, revival? You come if you're hungry, amen? Y'all right? If you're hungry, you want to continue, you want more and more. And I pray, God, that will give us that hunger because that's what he gave us in revival, amen? And I know some of you, you said, man, your work schedule won't allow you. You couldn't be there a single time. But I encourage you, and if you've not already done it, you go out on the website and get the message. If you can't access the web, they'll be glad to make you a CD in the back. But I'm telling you, it was a powerful word of God that just spoke to so many things personally for all of us in our lives. And I'm excited to know that we can continue in the word. But also in verse 31, it begins the subject of disciples. And it says the ones who's the devil is their father, they're not his disciples. And that word in the Bible, disciples, means learner. So as you continue in his word, it's drawing you in. And as you begin to follow him, you become a learner of his word. That goes to the James passage, says become a doer of his word. Amen? To be passionate about that. And now there is a price, there is a tremendous price to pay for staying on the word of God today. Amen? And you're going to be tempted often to back away when these sensitive subjects come up, when things come up in the news, when you're talking at work. And I realize Ava, even the hospital, pray for Ava's dad had surgery this week. And we were in the waiting room there, Ava, and we were talking, you know, and just families talking, having a good time. But you know, I started kind of looking. We were there with your grandpa and grandma, and we talk a lot. We like to talk. And so we talk about a lot of issues. And I started looking around the room, Marty. And Angie, I can tell right quick, there were several people close by that obviously they didn't agree with our line of thinking because we were talking about things going on in the news and world and how to line up to the Bible. And we've been in Charlotte, by the way, amen. Can I get a witness? And I'm looking around and say, oh, I don't think they like what we're saying. But see, when you're continuing that word and he's just building you up in that word, I wish we want an easy pill, you know. They advertise all the time a diet pill, amen. You take this pill and you're just going to take your appetite away, but you have all the energy in the world and you're just going to lose. And they show you these pictures. I mean, they got somebody over here that's as unhealthy as everything and they frown and looking like this. And then all of a sudden they took that pill and they took it for just about a few months and they over here with a big smile on their face and they're trim and neat and everything's wonderful. Is that possible? Heaven knows. It's not possible to have an easy fix, but sometimes I think in the world we treat God that way, just a little pill of Sunday morning, just if I could just read a little devotion. But I'm telling you, if there was any way and God won't allow it, just to have some starter or kickoff to begin to pour the word of God into you and begin to see how it can open up things in your life. Amen. But to continue, and the continuation takes you being a disciple. In verse 32, It makes a second, a profound statement. It says about people who are Satan's children, and if when we're acting that way, it simply is letting us know they don't know the truth and they're not free. See, that verse 32 says this. In Jesus, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what Jesus is, his subject is not that that's happening. His subject is to religious people, and he's saying that you don't know the truth. Why? Because you're not in the Word of God. Remember, next time somebody stands before you at school or at work or anywhere that you go when you're watching the TV and you make that stand, how in the world can they think that way? How can they say that way? Remember what I said? They're in darkness. They're total darkness. They're not in the Word of God. They're not his disciples. And what we find here in verse 32 is they don't know what the truth is. Did y'all hear? You hear what Jesus is saying? They don't know what the truth is. They don't know what the truth is. Y'all, that grabs my heart, and I'm thinking, y'all, that's what fishers of men and women are. That's what being a disciple is. That's what it means to come to church on this morning, because I'm just trying to give you a little more of the truth into my life and your life so that we can go out to people that we're surrounded that just don't know the truth. Isn't it awesome to find out the truth? Amen. Isn't it awesome when you don't know the truth and you find out about the truth of something? We've got our bathroom is just totally tore out. Amen. And you never really experienced. I feel like I'm back in college because I'm sharing a bathroom with Hilton and Eric. Amen. But we'd done so much work over the past couple of years. Our house was 27 years old. And you imagine if you don't do anything to your house for 27 years, some of you looking at me like, yeah, you want to renovate too. Amen. I can do it myself. I got to save money. I am do it myself. I can do it. I can do it. And then I get scared of it, and I say, well, I can tear everything out. I can make a mess. Amen. I can tear it. And the week before I actually had somebody come help me, I'm saying I can do it. I'll just tear it all out. And then, thank goodness, the Holy Spirit withheld me. Had someone come help me. They came to my house on a Friday morning at 8 a.m., and they came in and they ripped everything out of that room down to you see under the house. It was scary. And thank God Sandra was out of town. And by 3 o'clock, it was all built back. From 8 to 3. See, the truth I learned, the truth was, I'm not a carpenter. I'm not good at that. And so every step of the way, what God revealed to me as I was in and out, I'd learn a truth that I wouldn't have caught that, Ray. I wouldn't have known to fix that. I wouldn't have known how to fix that. I wouldn't have known how to take out that. I wouldn't have known. And so truth, and by the end of the day, I'm praising Jesus. I'm honest to God, I'm telling the workers, I'm praising God that I wasn't stupid and tried to do this on my own. Amen? Some of you can do that, but I learned a lot of truths that I was going to find out what the hard way, Tim. I was going to find out standing in there about 17 hours into the first day and nothing happening and find out the truth that maybe I shouldn't be there. Y'all, there's a message there. How many times are we not in the Word of God and we're making decisions in life and we're doing things and we just don't know what the truth is? Y'all, this what we're seeing about when we act like Satan's child and the reality, doesn't it just change? Listen. So often Christians can be so harsh. They can be so overbearing. And y'all, when I'm studying this, what I'm trying to share with you, and I'll be honest, when I probably first studied this, I'm like, yeah, that's a child of the devil. And all God continues to do is I think of these statements Jesus makes, like verse 32, they don't know the truth. Y'all, listen. We had the CPR training, Brother Larry. I took it probably 20 plus years ago, Amanda. I was overwhelmed. It scared me. There were so many rules. Do this, and you got to have it right here, and don't put your hands in the wrong place. I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed at it. And all of a sudden, this fresh breath of truth comes rolling in yesterday morning, Terry. And these men come in, and it's not these men, it's that they've learned. People have learned the truth about a life-saving process. follow me for a moment. They said, you know, if you are afraid to do mouth to mouth, we've learned if you'll just get there and just put your hands in the center of somebody's chest and you just, about 2-inch compressions going down, if you'll just keep pumping that chest till the EMTs, paramedics get here, it's been known to keep oxygen flowing and can save a life. I think the first time I took it, we spent days getting to the point where you're ever going to let you put your hand on somebody's chest. Y'all all right? I was told the first time, God's my witness, I was told that if you got to be careful what you do. You can break something off in their sternum. I don't know the name of it, nurses, but you know, you can break and it go and kill them. Guy yesterday said, y'all, the fact is, they're getting ready to die if you don't do something. So you breaking something off and it kill, that is not the least of your worries. Then I remember being told, because if you're not careful, you'll break somebody's ribs. The train yesterday, they said the reality we've learned is if you do this right, you're going to break ribs. The crunching is going to be the ribs breaking, but the life's going to be saved. Truth. So what Jesus is saying is that people who don't know Jesus, who aren't his word, who aren't his disciples, who didn't grow up like many of us grew up, they don't know the truth. I felt like that Bubba and his partner, Terry, came in and they just brought a fresh wave of truth and understanding and just, I was dreading coming, Scott, because I remembered it before. Within 30 minutes, I'm like, I think if Dickie falls up beside me, I'm gonna jump over there, I'm ready. But you tracking what God, it's what Jesus, those people at work, those people on TV, no matter how the position goes, they're in darkness. They don't know the truth. And Jesus said in that verse 30, they're not free. We don't need to take our freedom as an occasion to say things. I cannot believe they do that. I can't believe they would say that. I can't believe what they're doing. God's revealing some truth, y'all. We know exactly why. They're in darkness. You know what the truth is? I want, when I encounter anyone, but especially those, Miss Linda, who are in darkness and are not in the Word, I want them to encounter what I encountered yesterday. Remember what I said? I was dreading coming. I'd had it before. I was dreading coming. And I arrived, and there was just this fresh air of new truth. And don't mind you, I don't miss this. These boys from Anson County, and they ain't nothing better than a good old boy or girl from Anson County. I mean, it's just straight out, you know, they just talk real to us, you know. I've had it in Charlotte. I'm just telling you, it's honest truth, saying, you know, talking about the training in Charlotte is different from the training coming to Anson County. I mean, it's just practical, basic. I understand it, Chris. But I just felt, they didn't make me feel like they were superior than I was. They didn't make me feel like I didn't know. They didn't make us, Dickie, feel like our questions. But you see what God was showing me? He was showing me the illustration for what Jesus is saying is they realize that even if we knew some truth of the past, things had changed since we had been taught. They realized that what they were there was is they were being a part of maybe that one of us could be part of saving somebody's life, in particular somebody right here this morning or time in service. Amen. And that's how Jesus wants us to be out into a lost world. And oftentimes, we're not that way, Marty. We're so frustrated and we're so tired. We're so aggravated. But Jesus says, you remember, they're in darkness. And they don't know the truth. And they're not free. You're free. So don't take your freedom as an opportunity to set back with a holier thou attitude. But what did Jesus do? He got so into the war and the battle against sin and Satan in this old world that he went the ultimate in battle to his hand on the cross. Y'all, he's fully man. Fully man. Ever spit, ever whooping, ever lash, ever word. I mean, just cutting his heart. Hey, the fully man, part of Jesus is thinking like you and I can't believe that they just yelled that. I healed that guy's family member a few weeks ago. But what did Jesus know, David? Jesus knew. He's looking out, same group he's talking to in John 8, and he's saying, he's looking out at them. They're in total darkness. They don't know the truth. They're not free. And at that point, he's realizing, I'm more free nailed to this cross than they are. And Jesus looks down and he says, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. So you may have to be like me. As I get so angry about politics now, and I get angry about the laws and angry about everything, God's making me a little quieter until he shows me more of how to go out and share the good news. To go out and let our light shine, amen. Let our light shine in a dark world. Would you pray with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? Listen, the most important thing is, maybe you're here, and I hope, oh gosh, if the Holy Spirit would just, no matter what I've said or done, would let you know the love that I'm feeling right now. And if you're in that darkness, if you just don't know the truth, the Bible calls this your day of salvation. And still, listen, even right now, as this has pricked your heart, and you're saying, hey, I see that. I'm understanding. Listen, I'm going to tell you, according to the Bible, there is this tremendous light and this tremendous truth, and don't miss this tremendous freedom that if you'll just come and surrender and submit yourself to God and surrender to salvation, and what that looks like is just leave your seat, walk down here, say, preacher, I just want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus, really for the first time in my life. And listen, I'm going to let you go talk. I'm going to send you, they're open the Bible. I'm going to tell you, they'll open the Bible for you, and they're going to show you what the Bible says about this, not what Preacher Jeff does, what they do, or the church does. They're going to show you what the Bible says, and you can surrender by a simple prayer of praying and asking him to come into your heart. And I will tell you, there is a truth, and there is a light, and there is a freedom that's going to enter your life that you've never experienced before. Someone here needs that. Oh, I beg you, don't live in the darkness anymore. Don't live apart from the truth. Be a disciple. Get free. How about it, Christian? As I study, the more and more I study this passage, the more God points at me and says, here's a time when you acted like a child of the devil. You acted descriptively, according to the Bible, like he was your father. Maybe like me, you just need to come and say, God, forgive me. God, teach me from when I did that, or as I'm doing that. Let me repent of it. And remember this, church, repent. What forgive? When Jesus forgave you, it's complete, it's unconditional, it's immediate. And he calls us to forgive the same way. We have no control. Maybe you need to come as I've done. I was on my altar at my office this morning. Once again, just saying, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I want to give you my thoughts, my words, my actions. Maybe you need to come do that. Maybe you've been visiting and God has showed you this is the church he's calling you to serve. Be obedient to him and come and be part of us. Lord, we give you this time. Lord, you're the one that does the drawing. This is your invitation. We're moving out of the way. In essence, your light might shine. And Lord, help us to let our light shine according to the Scripture and not according to how we feel. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll stand and join me and grab your hymnals and turn to page 488.